Gentlemen, Shavuot Tov to everyone. Sometimes I wonder, late at night, how the Yetzer Hara works, because I don't think any of us sitting around this table ever had a Yetzer Hara to do Avodah Zarah, as was, so to speak, the Jewish danger throughout the time of the Nevi'im. I don't think anyone around this table had a Yetzer Hara to rape someone, and I don't think anyone here had a Yetzer Hara to murder or to steal. So I wonder, I mean, we all have a Yetzer Hara. The Medrash says, "Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od," on that famous Friday where he created the first man. And the Medrash says, what's tov me'od? Every day it was just tov, and on Friday it was tov me'od, like our great, great greatness. The Medrash says, tov me'od means Yetzer HaTov v'Yetzer Hara. So we all have a Yetzer Hara, and I always wonder how it works. I don't know the complete answer to this question, but I have a hunch. My hunch is that the Yetzer Hara works in the following way. He knows, when he comes to a frum Jew, that this Jew is not going to steal, or to violate Shabbos, or to eat non-kosher food. He's smart. He doesn't have, as the saying goes, he has no shot at that. It's too difficult. Now the Yetzer Hara is not stupid. So what does the Yetzer Hara do? It comes to you and says, do the mitzvahs. Just make sure that it doesn't influence you in any way. Put on tefillin. No problem. Put on tefillin. Keep Shabbos. Don't shave during the 3 weeks. No problem. Just make sure it doesn't influence you. Make sure that it means nothing to you. Let them be physical acts and not have any sort of an emotional result upon your personality. Any mitzvah. But where does this come to a fore, in my opinion, more than other mitzvot? Because Shabbos, any way you cut it, you enjoy. You could enjoy the rest. Some people enjoy long davening. Some people enjoy chilling. You're going to enjoy Shabbos. It's very hard for the Yetzer Hara to say that you violate Shabbos or to let Shabbos not influence you. But there is one time of the year where Jews ultimately go through an experience and the Yetzer Hara says, let it not influence you. And that's this time of the year. What we colloquially call what?
Ben HaMitzarim.
Ben HaMitzarim. The 3 weeks. Chazal already have acknowledged that this time of the year is a sad time. So even if you're a Sfaradi, that basically does not keep any of the laws of mourning until Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, on the week that Tisha B'Av comes out, which this year is a whole question because Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, but we commemorate it on Sunday. Even for a Sfaradi, they acknowledge that this period of time is a sad period of time. For three main reasons. Number one, this Shabbos, which Haftorah did you lay?
From my thought.
Yes, but what was the Haftorah speaking of? It wasn't the Haftorah of Matot. It had nothing to do with Parshat Matot. It had nothing to do with Parshat Pinchas. It has to do with the three terrible Haftorahs we read leading up to Tisha B'Av, colloquially known as... Now guys, you got to start talking Torah terms. So when you're out there, people think you're very wise. This way you fake them out. Nope. Gimel de Poranuta. The three Haftorahs of Poranut. Poranut means terrible tragedies that are coming on. Everything is about to fall apart. Poranut. Poranut. Sfaradim read it too. So obviously they acknowledge it's the 3 weeks. Number two, your name, sir?
Yitzchak
just said Ben HaMitzarim, which is a pasuk from Eicha, Kol Rotfea Hisigua Ben HaMitzarim, all those that were chasing her, caught up to her during Ben HaMitzarim. The Medrash says Ben HaMitzarim is the 3 weeks. And finally, maybe the best proof that this period of time means something to all Jews and not just to Ashkenazic Jews is the fact that in this week's Haftorah we read the words Makel Shake Dani Roe. Yirmiyahu saw a stick with an almond. The Medrash says I think it's a Talmud Yerushalmi, to be precise. Just like an almond stick takes about 3 weeks to get ready, to get into the ground, so too, this is a 3 week period. So 3 weeks is a time of mourning. I believe that the Yetzer Hara at this time of the year works overtime and easily. Overtime because he knows he has a chance, and easily because, boy, does he have a chance. What are we mourning for? We're essentially mourning for something we never had. So if, God forbid, a father, a mother, a sister, a brother dies, you feel the loss. Once upon a time they were here, and you had barbecues together, and seders together, and perhaps you spent yontifs together, and now you can't. So you feel the loss. You feel something is missing. Comes this time of the year, what are we mourning for?
Beit HaMikdash.
Yes, the Beit HaMikdash that... The Beit HaMikdash that we never had. We are trying to mourn for something that we never had. We don't feel the loss of it because we were born into a world without a Beit HaMikdash. So just like we scream at the new generation, you can't appreciate what it means to have Yerushalayim. We were born before we had the old city of Yerushalayim. And then the grandparents scream, you don't know what it was like not to have a state of Israel. We were born before the state of Israel. Well, the Yetzer Hara comes along, 3 weeks, all the Jews, says, no problem. You don't want to shave? Don't shave. Just say 5 minutes in the morning. No problem. You don't want to say Shechianu? Most Jews don't say Shechianu, except for on Yantif. No problem over there either. As we get closer to Friday, 9 days, you don't want to eat meat, you don't want to drink wine, Baruch Hashem today, tofu, vegetarians, we have to thank them 9 days a year, plenty to eat. Do it all! Don't violate one iota in Shulchan Aruch. Keep every chumrah if you'd like. There's even a chumrah, quote in the Ramah, not to eat meat from the 3 weeks onwards, not just 9 days. But do me one favor. Don't let it influence you at all. Go about your life. Do all these things. But let it not influence you. And it's so easy because we never had it. Questions?
I have to strongly disagree with that.
Go right ahead.
Strongly disagree.
Go right ahead.
Every time I read the newspapers, because it's more than just a building that we don't have, and it's more than just a building that we miss, and it's more than just a building that we're hoping to get. Maybe I'm just such a low person. I don't have the Yetzer Hara, because I understand that the greater the tzaddik is, the greater the Yetzer Hara. So maybe because I'm so low, I don't have a Yetzer Hara. But, you know, when I don't eat meat...
Sharp statement. Yeah, sharp statement.
I think about it all the time. You go to the old city, realize, you know, read the newspaper, see how we're being attacked every day.
My friend Mr. Hochstadt, allow me to stop you. You're about to give what I believe is the solution to this dilemma. What I would like to suggest at this point is that there is a challenge to us. We have never lived in a world with a Beis HaMikdash. We have never lived in a world where, as we said a few weeks ago, we came into the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year on the holidays, on the Shloshah Regalim. And we mekayim the mitzvah midol raisa. Can anyone tell me what it was? It's right there in the Chumash. You read it in Musaf of every Yomtiv. Shalosh pe'amim bashana yera'e kol zechorcha. What does it mean, yera'e? You shall be seen. Et pnei Adon Hashem. You're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to say, God, how are you? In other words, gilui shechina. God is there and you say hello. We have not lived in a situation of Gilui Shechina for thousands of years. We have not lived in a situation where you daven and God accepts your prayer. Or at least God will tell you no or yes through a Navi. So ultimately, we are in a very big challenge at this time of the year. The Yetzer Hara ultimately is telling us, do everything, just don't let it influence you. You know what you should do on Tisha B'Av? Let me just be cynical. Tisha B'Av is coming. It's a whole day. Most people don't work. You go to shul. This is what you should do. Keep every one of the 5 inuyim of Tisha B'Av. 1 second, Bruce. Don't eat, don't drink, etc. come to shul in the morning, hear the Torah, the Haftorah, sit on the floor like everyone else. Go to the fastest minyan you can find that has the list of kinos that don't go past two hands, namely about 9. Get out of there in about an hour and go home. Play Monopoly, read books. Just let the day go by without it influencing you. And it's so easy because we never had any of the things we're mourning for. I mean, let's face it, the kinos of Tisha B'Av, Beis HaMikdash, we never had it. We don't know what it's like. Korbanos, we never had. We don't know what it means. Let's go on in history. This kinos about the Crusades, we didn't live through it. Perhaps my family doesn't even come from Germany, so it's nothing to do with me. They burned the Talmud in 1242 in Paris. There's a kina, Tzion Aloti Shali, written by the Maharam Mirutenberg. Great, great gadol. Like perhaps all Ashkenazic Jewry owes him a debt of gratitude. But, Baruch Hashem, look at this room. Are we worried about burning books today? So they burn these books, we go next door, there's more books. So get through the day, don't let it influence you. Play Monopoly. Get through it. Go to the late minyan, play Monopoly, mincha, finished. Eat your bagels. Do everything! Don't violate one law! But don't let it influence you. Yes, Bruce?
I was going to say, I'm a Tony, and I don't necessarily feel any different from anyone else along the way. I should. For that reason, because, you know, we never had it, it's hard to miss it. Mm-hmm. But what I do try to think about is, let's say, representatives from the opposite of the nation, and that we can all feel badly about it in our own time, and we don't have that.
Okay.
So to focus on that aspect of what it represents.
Now you're getting to solution. So I just wanted to repeat what Bruce said, and that is that ultimately Bruce said he's a Kohen, so he should feel it more than any of us. He's out of a job if you think about it. And he doesn't feel it because he was never a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Now how do we overcome this? And I'm not going to give you a magic potion. There is no magic potion. This is a true dilemma. It's a very simple idea. I'll sum it up in one word. Prepare. Prepare. How do you eat on Shabbos? You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos.
You cook before Shabbos.
Chazal already said, Mishalo tarach be'erev Shabbat, lo yochal b'Shabbat. Whoever doesn't get busy on Erev Shabbos doesn't eat on Shabbos. Right? Very good. If you want a yontiv, or God forbid a Tisha B'Av, to influence you, you have to prepare for it. It's not enough to get there and say, here I am! But rather, you have to prepare for it for weeks in advance. You have to read about what the Beis HaMikdash was. You have to look at diagrams and picture books. You have to mourn and ask yourself, what are we missing today? Bruce mentioned unity. The list can go on and on and on. But if we don't want the Yetzer Hara to win, then we have to do everything to prepare for this period of time, because if not, it can go right through us. And let me give you a proof that I love. Let me go forward in time. Everybody looks forward later on. I was at a minyan this Shabbos. There was a Dvar Torah right before the Kiddush. I like that. Everyone finishes davening, so everyone's calm, and then there's a Dvar Torah, not during davening, where everyone's itchy to get out. So at the Kiddush, there was a Dvar Torah that I personally, I don't know, I had a little bit of a problem with. It was hard for me to pinpoint. The gentleman said that that in art literature, we have a notion of me'afilah le'or gadol. We say that at the Seder night, at the end of Magid. We say it, or we pray for it every Monday and Thursday, in that famous Achinu Kol Beit Yisrael that we say after we read the Torah, right? And the Tonim Batzavar B'Shivya, the Yatzeem Mitzaral V'Racham, me'afilah le'ora. So therefore, we're in a very dark period of time, but thank God the light is on the way. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah is not far off. Didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't like it. It was like saying, let's forget about this. Let's just look forward for Rosh Hashanah. I didn't like it. So allow me now to take revenge. Let's go to Sukkot. Sukkot is the happiest of all Yom Tovs. Correct? How do I know this?
Zman Simchatenu.
First of all, we say Zman Simchatenu. Correct. The Rambam says, even though every Yantav had Simcha, on Sukkot there was a Simcha Yetera in the Mikdash. So, very happy holiday. Let's go to the happy holiday of Sukkot. It says with regard to Sukkot, U'lakachtem lachem bayom harishon. Continue the pasuk.
Pre-Eitz Adar,
kapot marim, anap Eitz Avot ba'arvei nachal. What are you supposed to take on the first day of Sukkot? Midor Raitza?
Lulav
and Esrei. Very good. comes along the tour, halachic work, the tour. His books are probably so, there it is, right behind Mr. Hochstedt there, the tour. And his Hilchos Sukkos asks the following question.
By the way, my friends call me Menashe.
Okay, Menashe. The tour says, how come we say Bayom HaRishon on the first day? How does the Torah usually tell us to do mitzvot? It says, Ubachamisha Asar Yom LaChodesh, on the 15th day of the month, do this? Or on Yom Kippur, what does the Torah say? Be'asor LaChodesh, on the 10th day of the month, do that? So how come with regard to the Lulav and Esrog, does the Torah say, Ulekachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, on the first day? Which we have to figure out means not the first day of the month, not Aleph Tishrei, where we shouldn't be taking a lulav and esrog, or rather blowing the shofar, but rather it means the 15th day of the month, but at the first day of Sukkot. Why does the Torah give us logic like this? Just say on the 15th. A few psukim before it said the 15th day of the month is Sukkot, so just say the 15th day of the month is Sukkot and blah 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 blah. The tour gives a very interesting answer. I'm not so sure it's a pshat, but the tour brings it. And the tour is a halachic work, it's not mystical. The tour says, and it's Hilchos Sukkos, Yom HaRishon L'minyan Avonot. It is the first day you can do an Avera. Everybody probably read the tour and said, what? The tour says, very logical. Yom Kippur was Yud Tishrei, 10th of Tishrei. Everyone was cleaned of their Averos. They come out of Ne'ilah, Ma'ariv, they're clean. For the next 5 days, in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they have no time to do Averis. Why don't they have time to do Averis? Because they're busy. What are they busy with? Building a sukkah, buying a little of an esrog, cooking food, etc. This coming year, if the Beis HaMikdash is not built, Yom Kippur is Wednesday. So Thursday is like the first full day and the only full day before Sukkot. People are going to be busy. Friday is Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is Shabbos. Sunday is Erev Sukkot. So no time to do any Averis. Finally, the sukkah is built. The little of an esrog is bought. The food is cooked. And we sit down in the sukkah. And then you could say, Baruch Hashem, the hard work is over. So what does a Jew do the first minute the hard work is over? Lashon Hara talks about the neighbor. What else do you do at a Yontif meal? In other words, the first chance you can get to do an Avera, says the Torah, is Bayom HaRishon. Therefore the Torah says Bayom HaRishon. Comes along the Taz, an halachic interpretation to the Shulchan Aruch, 17th century, and asks, is the Torah out of his mind? Is he trying to say that the preparation for a mitzvah is stronger than the mitzvah itself? Because during preparation time, you can't do an Avera, no time. But during the mitzvah, when you actually take the lulav and esrog in your hand, then you can do an Avera. Shouldn't the time you do the mitzvah be stronger than the time you prepare for the mitzvah?
I think so.
Yeah. The mitzvah should have this mystical, amazing power to it that you shouldn't do Averas. So how can the Torah say that during preparation time, you won't do an Avera? But during the time you actually do the mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot, Averas galore. That's what the Taz asks. Good question, sharp question. Comes along the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet, the former Rebbe from Gur. Everyone uses his Perush on the Torah.
Yeah.
Became very famous in the last few years. When I was a kid, I never heard the word. The Sfat Emet answers, the Torah is right. The preparation for the mitzvah is stronger than the mitzvah. Because the more you prepare, the more the mitzvah is significant, because the Sfat Emet, being very logical, as the Gemara Rebbe's were, says, how long does it take you to fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog? What does the Gemara say? Mida'agbe nafikbe. When you pick it up, you did the mitzvah. Done. So you want to shake it, you shake it. Another 30 seconds add on. Hold it during Hallel. With all the singing, add on 10 minutes. That's it. That's the whole mitzvah. But preparation, says the Sfat Emet, is lolam. What the Sfat Emet is saying is beautiful. The more you prepare for something, the more significant it is when you do it. Because when you do it, it's only 2 seconds. You make Kiddush, 2 minutes. You shake Lulav and Esrog, 1 minute. You eat matzah, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. That's it. But the more you prepare for it, the more significant those minutes will be. I would like to suggest the same thing is true throughout the year, and especially during this time of the year. The more we prepare, the more significant Tisha B'Av will be. The less we prepare, the less significant Tisha B'Av will be. Because it's so easy to go through the motions and not feel a thing. On the other hand, it's a challenge, and it's possible to go through the motions and to feel. And that's ultimately what our job is during these 3 weeks, to start preparing. You can focus on the lack of unity, you can focus on the lack of korbanos, you can focus on the lack of Beis HaMikdash, you can focus on the fact that we're living in the state of Israel, and we are the bosses, and yet we can't go on Har HaBayit freely. Yeah, I know you can go on, sometimes here, there, whatever, but you can't go freely, let's face it. It's in the hands of the waqf, for whatever reason. So ultimately, if you want Tisha B'Av to be significant, you have to prepare for it. And allow me to just take this one step further. And here Menashe won't like me, but I'm going to say it anyway. We are all praying for the coming of Mashiach. We're waiting for Mashiach to come. I believe firmly that when Mashiach comes, if we didn't educate as to what Mashiach will mean and what Mashiach will change, then ultimately when it comes, people will underappreciate it as well. And if we did not prepare for it, when it comes, we'll say, like a Tisha B'Av, let's go through the motions. It's not going to be like Mashiach's going to come all of a sudden. Magic. Everyone's going to become a religious Jew. Magic. Everyone's going to be appreciative. Magic. Everyone's going to say, Hodu la Hashem ki tov ki lo lam chasdo. Everyone's going to point and say, Ze Hashem ki vinu lo nagila v'nismecha b'yeshuato. This is the day we've been waiting for. If we don't educate and prepare for it, we're not going to appreciate it as much. We may clap our hands, yeah. We may say Yeshakoach, sure. But will we appreciate it? Will we internalize it? Will we change because of it? I firmly believe that if we don't prepare for it, it will not necessarily have the same influence as it would if we prepared for it.
Why do you think I wouldn't like
that? Okay, don't know. Your Chabad upbringing, don't know.
Say exactly that.
I hope so. I've heard otherwise.
Well,
I've heard many times otherwise. I've heard many times that we want Mashiach now because as soon as it comes, everything's going to be okay.
No, the Rambam.
And I say, the Rambam never says that.
Right, that's right. The Rambam does not say that.
That's right. On the other hand, I'd love to hear a perush of how the Rambam jives with this slogan, we want Mashiach now.
Well, certainly we want Mashiach now, but the Rambam says that Mashiach is not going to do magic. The world is going to continue the way it is now with the natural order of things. It's just that we will not be under the domination of the nations.
Correct.
That's what the Rambam says. So why do you say that that doesn't jive with we want Mashiach now?
Because I believe that behind the slogan we want Mashiach now is let it come now because it's going to solve all problems with a snap of a finger.
Well, it won't be the snap of a finger, and it won't solve.
Well, that's
all
my
problems,
point.
But it'll solve
that's
the problem
my point.
Of
that's
my point. I mean, the Rambam is very clear and explicit.
But
the
Rambam,
I've
heard Chabadnikim say otherwise. That's why I said you may not like it. But I'm glad we agree.
I apologize.
I'm glad we agree. It's very good to agree, gentlemen. I want to repeat: if you want these 3 weeks to influence, it's all a function of what? Preparation. You don't want it to influence? Sit around. Go about business. Don't shave. No reason to shave. Friday? Don't do laundry. Well, you'll save time. Don't iron. Save more time. Now, meat and wine? Oh, you suffer a little bit. But Baruch Hashem, pizza, lasagna, pastas, galore. We'll get through the week. Fish. Fish is healthy. Fish.
Shabbat,
you can eat meat and drink wine.
Even on Tisha.
No, Baruch Hashem, this year, even easier than usual, gentlemen. 2 of the 9 days of Shabbos. Usually you have 1 Shabbos. So 1 out of the 9 days you can eat meat. But this year, 2 out of the 9 days you can eat meat. By the way, you don't gain anything. Whoever can tell me why, I'd be very happy. Why is it you don't gain anything this year with 2 Shabboses?
Because you always could eat meat on Shabbat.
No. Well, if the year comes out in a certain way, you only have 1 Shabbos. So you have nine days. Of the 9 days, take out a day where you can eat meat and drink wine. There's only 8 days left. 1 day is Tisha B'Av. You don't eat anything. So it's 7 days. This year, you should gain, because Shabbos is Shabbos, the first Shabbos, Matot Maaseh, this coming Shabbos, And then Shabbat Chazon, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, which on the calendar is Tisha B'Av, is another Shabbat. So you take off 2 days, but we don't gain anything. You know why? Because when do we commemorate Tisha B'Av? On the 10th. So there you go. You don't gain.
Actually, you do gain.
Oh, you do gain.
Yes, I'll tell you why. Because a lot of the restrictions of Tisha B'Av carry forward onto the 10th.
Menashe, just to be precise, a lot of the 9 days restrictions carry to the 10th, not Tisha B'Av.
Okay, a lot of the 9 day restrictions.
That's correct. And this year
forward.
It doesn't.
And this year,
except
this year,
for one. There's a minhag, a very strong minhag, not to eat meat and drink wine after a fast day. Any fast day. It's not nice. So that night you shouldn't eat meat and drink wine.
Yes,
so break your fast
Monday
another fast.
Morning, I mean nobody.
Monday morning, Sunday night already.
Sunday
night, according to Moltz, you can go ahead and enjoy the Sabbath.
So you do gain.
You gain a little. Okay, you can gain. So you can gain. You can get through it. Don't worry about it. Just go through the motions. Finished. Done.
The problem is
prepare. It won't go through the motions.
But you see, the problem is going to be on Sukkos.
There's going to be a problem on Sukkos.
Yes. Not just this year, every Sukkos.
What's the problem?
The problem is that on Sukkos, we're going to still miss, last Sukkos. This Sukkos will have a shift. But last Sukkos, we missed the fact that we didn't have the base of Egdash.
Why?
Why? Because we read and we learned everything that used to be going on at the base of Egdash.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it's not just the preparation of the 3 weeks. I mean, we prepared last Sukkos for Tisha B'Av. And even last Sukkos, I mean...
We prepared last Sukkos for Tisha B'Av?
Yes, we were thinking, you know, look what we're missing. We're missing the Beis HaMikdash, we're missing the Karbanos, we're missing the Shekhinah, we're missing everything.
Menashe, if Jews are sitting on Sukkos and saying, look how much we're missing, we're in a great situation. I have reason to believe that Jews are sitting on Sukkos, in their Sukkos, beautiful Sukkos, hosting people, going on to Yulim, and they don't even give a second thought to the fact that they're not in the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, then they're not paying attention to the Torah laning.
Well,
what it says in Musa.
Does that surprise you, Menashe? Does that surprise you that Jews don't pay attention to laning? Does that surprise you?
Well, I'm a Baal Tshuva, so I don't know.
Does that surprise you? It doesn't surprise me. And that's exactly what I'm saying now. We have to pay attention. We have to prepare, and that means paying attention. You've said it better than me. Let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to what we said every single Musa throughout the year, that something is missing. Let's pay attention to what we said this morning after the Shmoneh Esrei. What were the last words we said when we came out of our private conversation with God this morning in Shmoneh Esrei? Repeat it. Yehi Ratzon Melfanecha. Shem Elokeinu Velokei Aboteinu. No? Sheyibosem Beis HaMikdash B'mehera B'yomeinu. V'tein Chelkeinu B'toratecha V'sham Na'avotcha B'yira Ki Mei Olam. This is the way we said goodbye to God. Okay? How many Jews say, ooh, I've got to think about that. Wow, I did this whole beautiful thing. I stood before God in private conversation. This is gewaldic. It's very high. And yet, this is the way I ended, so I guess maybe something's missing. Maybe something is ultimately missing from my life. Something is not here. How many Jews paid attention to that? It happened Musaf yesterday. Anyone come out of Musaf saying, oh yeah, bruch, we talked about Korbanos. Last week's Parsha. We read about the Korbanos of Shabbos. Beyom HaShabbat was in the Parsha. But we didn't bring it. So, maybe something Epis is missing. You know? We're not paying attention. This is absolutely correct. We're not paying attention.
But it wasn't ideal. You're creating a situation.
Correct.
Right. So what's, you know, I don't, Seth, you're saying, you know, we need to remember.
Not remember. No. We have to prepare. I didn't say remember. I'm not a big chassid of remember. Remember means you remember. So I remember once I was in the park. So what? I'm not the remember. In Judaism, we don't have a phrase remember. We have a phrase called zikaron, and it's all over the place. Zechor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho, Zechor et Asher Asah Lecha Amalek. We use it all the time. We have not a memory per se. It's a memory that's supposed to translate into a mindset and action. So sometimes the memory means remember Shabbos by saying Kiddush, not just, oh, Shabbos is a holy day, goodbye. When I said prepare, I mean, let's think about an ideal Beis HaMikdash. And while you're thinking about it, yes, you have to learn the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Tet Amud Bet, that says, why did we lose it? So the first Beis HaMikdash was the cardinal sin. So no one's doing the cardinal sins. Baruch Hashem, we got through that. Second Beis HaMikdash, Sinas Chinam. Did we get through that yet?
Not yet.
No. Not yet. So we got to work on that. Let's see how we can work on it. Write articles. Preach. Talk about it. Epis. Something. But what I'm trying to say this morning is it's so easy to go through the 3 weeks and feel nothing by doing all the halachos, because they're all technical. Or you can go through the 3 weeks, and when you get to Tisha B'Av, because of your preparation, it's a strong day that, as Menashe says, and I hope this is true, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll get the sukkahs and we'll say, look how much is missing. And not just, this is beautiful.
No, excuse me. When we get to Sukkot, we'll have...
Pardon?
This coming Sukkot.
God willing? Yes.
One of the problems in your presentation is the fact that Rambam himself brings a shita that by a shlishi there won't be korbanot, that there'll be...
Where does the Rambam bring this shita?
I can't quote the exact location.
It's not in his halachos. It's a notion that you can learn or infer from the Morena Bukhin. It's not so simple, though, the way it's quoted, and it's not so simple the way he formulates it, and it definitely goes against the very pshat of what we say at every Musaf.
Yeah, but
and
the concept is bringing
by the way, it goes
grain
against
offerings, because part of the problem, maybe this is part of the problem also, is that people don't feel the loss of animal sacrifice. It runs counter to the current ethos, cruelty to animals, all that kind of stuff. And I can imagine that if it were instituted today, if it were instituted today, the vast majority of Jews, including many Orthodox Jews, would feel uncomfortable with it, because our prayers have become in place of the korbanot, and that's been ingrained for over 2,000 years. How do you change your mindset? How do you change the current Weltanschauung
You're absolutely right, and most Jews, in fact, in my opinion, all Jews will find korbanos to be extremely strange, myself included, and that's part of the preparation of these 3 weeks, to try to understand what it was, and to try to understand its significance. But beyond korbanos, the Beis HaMikdash meant much more. So even if you want to go with the notion that the Rambam would only be flower offerings, menachot,
right,
in the times of Mashiach, the Rambam doesn't necessarily say that, but it's quoted from the Rambam, then obviously the Beis HaMikdash meant much more than just sacrifices. Sacrifices is a aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the only aspect that existed in the Beis HaMikdash. There were other things that existed in the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately we have to ask ourselves, all in all, what are we missing? And if you ask me, I can sum it up in one phrase. Gigui Shechina.
Okay.
When there's Nisim and Neflot happening in one place in the world, you know God is with us. He may not like us, he may punish us, but he's with us.
Why does that happen all the time in Eretz Yisrael?
What happens all the time in Eretz Yisrael?
Gigui Shechina.
How?
Victories in war. Nisim in the six-day war.
I think the answer, excuse me for my ignorance or my naivety, but I don't believe we're at the level of Gilui Shechina today at all. Just give you one example. We win a great war called the Six-Day War. Everyone agrees we won. Swift 6 days. And there's many people out there, religious and non-religious, who believe that it was a sign from heaven for us to have something to barter with the Arabs and get peace. So that's like convoluted logic. You win the war to have a card to give back, to give away. Others would say, no, it's the greatest nation they've lost. Who's right? Who's right? You have this and that, left and right. Who's right? Who has the truth? Once upon a time, there was a Navi, who was a direct conduit to God, who said, he's right. We don't have that today. We don't have that today. I'm not talking about halacha. Halacha's in our hands. I'm talking about hashkafa. How do we rule the state of Israel? What should we do with this draft issue in the ultra-Orthodox world? Maybe learning Torah is more important than putting a few of these Haredim in the army. I don't know.
I think
maybe not.
Should be more honest, because right now the army
is bloated, and more from people with the Hester yeshivas are joining the army than all the people in Tel Aviv. And there's an excellent blog written.
How do you know that?
There's statistics written. This is their statistics done by.
So why would the army be saying that they want everyone in?
Well, share responsibility.
Why do you need share responsibility if we have enough soldiers?
David Zoltner writes a blog.
Menashe, let me stop you right there. A blog, by definition, is a personal opinion.
Right, but he quotes
an editorial
statistic. And he says that this whole
I can
thing
play
about
with statistics
sharing the responsibility
as well.
Is just
we can all play with
religious.
Statistics. Statistics is not an exact math. We can play with statistics. Let's face it. What is the right way? We all love Talmud Torah. On the other hand, we all love the shared responsibility. These are both values in Judaism. Shared responsibility, Talmud Torah. I don't know what to do.
All I could do is think.
Three-state solution. Here's another idea. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be wonderful to go back to a time where on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, perhaps Bruce, would go into the Kodesh Kadoshim, and he'd see the beautiful string turn to white, and he'd come out and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, God forgave the Jewish people." No ifs, ands, and buts. You're forgiven. How do I know? I got a sign. We don't have that today. We have the world that I like to call the Ke'ilu world. What's the Ke'ilu world? Your dining room table is Ke'ilu HaMizbeach. You say Korbanos, it's Ke'ilu you brought it. We can go on and on with the Ke'ilu list. That's the world we're living in today. The Ke'ilu world. I have never yet seen in my life someone make a wedding for a Ke'ilu Chasana. Namely, the wife and the husband-to-be are not there, but we're going to play pretend. So we're going to go to a wedding, we're going to rent a hall, we're going to spend who knows how much money for food, flowers, photographer, and of course, let's not forget the most important, the band, for Ke'ilu, they're getting married. But today, how many songs do you know are already composed on the word Ke'ilu? One song comes to mind right now.
Lu Yehi
what?
Lu Yehi, Lu Yehi, Lu
Yehi. Yeah. What about it? Lu Yehi means halavai.
Yeah.
But I know Jews that live in the Ke'ilu world and have no problem with it.
Look, I was at the weddings.